Good morning.
And it does feel like morning this morning, doesn't it? I mean, it's like 9 o'clock. It was about 8:45, and there was one person here this morning. And I thought, oh, no, it's going to be one of those mornings. Everyone stayed out too late last night. I'm glad that you're here. We're going to have fun this morning. I'm going to try and keep you awake best that I can. If you want to be turned into John, the book of John, we are going to read together from the last couple of verses, John 21, verse 25, here in just a moment. I have, some of you know, I've got a son this morning that is in the military. He is an Army Airborne soldier, and he is graduating, and I can't be there. So my heart's broke, but his mama's there, which is a good thing. I did not know, and he did not know months ago that it was going to work out where it was going to be on a Friday morning, the same time as Tulsa. And while I'm honored and glad and love being here, my heart's in Georgia because he's going to jump out of an airplane this morning and land on the graduation field in front of his mama. But she's promised to take lots of pictures, so I'm excited for him and getting to do that. He will start Ranger training next week, and why he likes that, I don't actually know. Why I would not want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. That just amazes me. The part that's incredible is his roommate, his friend, has never flown in his life. And so his first jump this past week was he boarded a plane for the first time ever and then jumped out of it. Can you imagine that? To me, that is incredible. Just incredible. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. And I mean, that is the topic that it needs to be when we're talking about good news for a broken world, because he is the good news that we need to share. He's the good news we need to be living, and we're going to look at some things that deal with that. Now, I like the topic that I, when we were talking topics and I said I want to talk something on Jesus, they were saying, give me a good title. And around my house, we often use the word, boy, that just makes my jaw drop. And actually, the more I think about the things we're going to talk about this morning, there are things you've heard of, but when you actually stop to consider some of the things we're going to talk about, you're almost in awe at some of the things that take place. I've got a 16-year-old son that's got new driver's license, and if you know my family, if you know Connor, who is 16, he is, since he was about third grade, he has always wore his hair long. We choose not to battle over hair. In my family, we're going to pick and choose our battles and pick the right ones. And he has always wore his hair long, just about as long as the school will let him, according to regulations. And so he is just always down to his eyebrows, bottom of his ear, back of his collar. And I'm good with that. You know, he's a good kid. That's what matters. But this past week, for the first time since he was about 10 years old or earlier, someone talked him into cutting his hair off. As I sat and watched as he got his hair cut, because it was just such a big deal because his hair is so full and so long, it was like I could see what he really looked like. I mean, it was all of a sudden, it was like, man, he kind of looks like a young man. I mean, he looks good. And I caught myself just staring at my son because he looks so different without all of his hair. In fact, it was the next day we were eating, and I didn't catch myself, but he looked over at me and said, Dad, quit staring at me. And I said, Connor, I'm just so not used to seeing you where I can see your whole face. It was just amazing the way that it looked on him. And I mean, I would catch myself literally just staring at him. I think it's kind of the same way we're going to look at this morning. Sometimes when I look at Jesus, I am so caught off guard that I know that I would just be staring at some of the things he did, some of the places he went, some of the way he related with people, so that I was just going, wow, that just amazes me. Read with me in the book of John. Look in verse 25. John concludes his book by saying this: Jesus did many other things as well. which is incredible to me, because he's just told me a whole book full of stuff that already makes my jaw just go, wow. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that were written. To me, that's incredible. Just to think about how many things we've actually missed when there's already so many things that we actually know. So let's look at a handful of things this morning that when I look at Jesus, that I sit back and I go, that just amazes me. Number one, He cared about people. That's the first thing I want you to catch. The fact that you've got a deity that has come to the earth and actually cares about us amazes me. He wasn't the type that said, look, I'll keep office hours, and if I have time for you, you come see me. But hey, I am God, so don't expect to have time to come in and see me at any chance that you can. He cared about people. He showed compassion for a five-time divorcee who was shacking up with another person. He cared about a woman who had been caught in adultery. He spent time with a guy named Zacchaeus that nobody else even liked because he just cared about people. He was one of those that you would just... Hey, they're getting close on that. One of those that you would just shrink any of that down that you want or close it out. And we'll hope that a love letter to my wife or something doesn't pop up there, right? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it was Luke that said this as he writes the second letter. He already wrote Luke, now he's writing Acts. He said, what I told you earlier about Jesus, I told you all the things that he began to do and teach. Jesus was someone who cared about people, and the do came before the teaching. Jesus didn't come to do his duty. He didn't go out and say, hey, I don't have time for you. He healed, he served, he fed, he touched. He did ministry, and there was no distinction and no favoritism between tax collectors and fishermen. In fact, the only people Jesus actually looked down on were those who looked down on other people. You did well. Good job. Threw a curveball at them this morning. The only people he ever got frustrated with, the people that he really just chewed on, were the people who looked down on other people. He cared about people. I love the fact that I've got a Savior that I know was interested in other people. In every family, we've all got one family member that's kind of a little on the strange side. I really believe every family member has that. You know, the family member that when Christmas comes or Thanksgiving comes, that you warn everybody, yeah, Aunt Michelle is going to be there, or Uncle Alan or whoever it is going to be there. Or if you've got a new family member, you must be Alan, right? you know, if you get somebody new in the family, you go, hey, we're glad you're coming to Thanksgiving with us. Let me warn you about so-and-so. Every family member's got their oddballs, right? Now, if you can't think of the one in your family, if you're going, man, there is no oddball in my family, you're probably the oddball, okay? It's you. We've all got family like that. I've got family that I think, you know, if I watch Jerry Springer enough, I know they're going to show up on that show at some point or another. But Jesus never saw people like that. He never had the oddball that he just thought, now they're the strange ones, we're going to keep them at a distance. Jesus simply cared about people. I love that. Doesn't take much to be in a hospital or sick to know how much compassion means to the fact that you get well. I spent a week in 2003 in the hospital, and I knew in an instant which nurses were compassionate and which ones were there just to do a job. And I loved the ones that were compassionate. And it was like, oh, please let them come back and work another time this week, because they cared. And there was something about healing quicker when you have somebody who actually cares. Compassion, caring about people. I like the story of the farmer that went in. I'm from Childress, Texas. We're an agriculture type community. I love the story of the farmer who came in, the banker, and if you do any kind of farming, you know bankers and farmers spend a lot of time together because farmers are always coming by, give me a loan. I love the story of the farmer that went in and he told his banker, he said, man, I need another loan for this year. And the banker's, you know, hey, no way. The loan officer says, it's not happening. And the farmer says, look, to keep all of my stuff going, I need a loan. Please show me some compassion. And so the banker said, all right, here's the deal. One of my two eyes is a glass eye. And they did such a good job modeling it after my good eye that you can't tell a difference. So I'll tell you what, if you can take a guess and guess which eye of my two are a glass eye, I'll give you a loan. The farmer looked up and immediately said, it's the right eye. Banker was amazed. He said, are you serious? That quick? You knew you could tell that quick that the bright eye was a glass eye? And the farmer said, yes, that's the one I saw a little compassion in, you know? What I love about Jesus was he cared about people. He had compassion for people. He went around doing that. We need to be the same. All people, not people just in our comfort zone, not people that are just like us, all people. We need to move on. Let's look at the next one. Jesus was a man of action. Now, I like this because I am a man. I love action movies. Indiana Jones, Pirates of the Caribbean. Last night, there was an old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie on, and I was flipping channels trying to find something, and it was like, ah, there you go. All I need is an action movie, and I'm happy. Jesus was a man of action. He constantly was serving and loving and doing. He was one of those people that there was nothing boring about Jesus. 3 years when he was in ministry that we have recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he spent more time showing people how to live than he ever did telling them how to live because he was a man of action. His best lessons he taught were taught with a towel, showing someone how to serve. I love that. Or out in a desert showing people how to overcome temptation. Those were his greatest lessons. A broken world needs churches who are full of action. I'll tell you this, and I'm not being mean, I'm not being cold, but I will be honest with you. If our communities know our churches only by their location, and not by their service and their action, we have failed. If somebody says, well, tell me about your church. Where? I know where y'all are. Y'all are on such and such. And that's the only thing they know. We are failing. We should be just as much people of action. Can't wait to tell you in the morning, if you come over here to the pavilion, we're going to talk a little bit about a project we've done in Tulia called Augment. We have officially given away two homes that we have totally rebuilt to poor people in our community and said, here you go. Here's you the keys. We started our third this week when Adventures and Mission students came in and helped us clean out a house. We're giving it away again, hopefully in about 9 months. I love the fact that I was in the store the other day and I ran into a lady and she said, now you're Trey Morgan, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, now you go to the Church of Christ. And I said, you're the preacher of the church. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, now the Church of Christ, aren't you the guys that, and my first thought was, oh no, what is she going to say? You know, we're the guys that, and I thought about five quick things, bad, negative things. She said, aren't you the guys that are always doing nice things for people? And I just wanted to go, yeah, and dance right there in the aisle because somebody was hearing something positive about the church. We go two times a year. My congregation, and some of you in here that have gone with me, we go twice a year to Honduras, and we feed the hungry. We build houses. We do medical missions, and I love going. One of the first families we've met, being people of action like Jesus, one of the first families we met was living in a shack smaller than this stage right here with dirt floors and plastic bags up on one side of their house. Every time it rained, they got wet. As we finished a house for them, a wooden house where they'd no longer get wet, a rain cloud came up, storm came in, it started pouring rain, and we all ditched inside of the house, and it rained on the metal roof, and you could hear it raining. Nobody got wet. The mama who was there that had been there all day long burst out in tears when she realized, I have a home I'm not going to get wet in. We all cried. We prayed together. I don't speak Spanish or Honduran, but I do speak love. We came back 6 months later, and because we were building a house down the road from her, we stopped by and we brought that little family that we fell in love with some beans and rice, which is huge when you can provide some food for a family as well. We asked, do you remember us? And she said, of course. We showed the beans and rice that we brought her, and she cried, and she hugged our necks. And one of my guys that was with me said, we want you to know that we love you. And her response so caught me off guard, because I thought she would go, I love you too. But you know what she said? She said, I know. I can tell. Because we choose to show our love by our action. Jesus was a man. Jesus was a man that cared about people, and he was a man that was full of action. And when we become a church that's the same, we'll be and share that gospel to a broken world when they can see in us, us being not just a mouth, but also hands and feet of Jesus as well. And I love this one. I had to throw this in. Now I'm going to give you 8 quick ones, all right? Jesus was a communicator. I love this because the more I read about Jesus, the more I realize that he understood about communication what we're just figuring out. And that is people learn by pictures and by stories and not by sentences. Now, I don't have anything wrong with expository preaching out of the Bible. I think that's good. I do it all the time. But if you'll notice, Jesus taught in a way in which people remembered what it was that he said. He taught in parables or stories, or sometimes we call them illustrations. Lots of them. He did very little scripture quoting. He used pictures. He would point out and he'd go, "You see that bird over there in the tree, the one just kind of dancing around? He's got no storage barns." He said, "He's got no place. He has no clue where he's going to get his next worm, but God takes care of him." And the people were going, "Oh yeah, that's right." And Jesus would go, "And God's going to take care of you too." And then he would point out and he said, "You see those flowers over there? You know, we think in pictures. We're just figuring that out. We're just figuring out the fact that we learn by pictures and by stories." And Jesus was figuring this out a long time ago. He was a communicator. The difference between a communicator and an intellectual will take something simple and make it tough. A communicator will take something tough and make it simple. And that's what he did. And I love the fact we need the same thing in our world. How easy is it to tell my neighbors, "Hey, Jesus died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Man, he was a communicator, and I love the way he communicated. I did have a lady one time, I still get tickled at it, that told me, and of course, at the time, I decided not to say anything, but we were on an elevator, and she had a new preacher, and I love hearing stories about new preachers, because I love it when people talk good about the preacher. And I said, "What do you think of new preacher?" And she said, "I love him. I love the way he preaches. He preaches just like Jesus." And I said, "Oh, how is that?" And she said, "He didn't tell any of those silly stories, and he just quotes scripture." And I remember thinking, you know, I hadn't read about that Jesus. He was a communicator. We need to communicate the same things that Jesus communicated. Jesus taught simple things like relationships and forgiveness and things that were important. We'll look at that. He had something to say. When he communicated, he actually talked about things that mattered. That's us. In a broken world, talk about some things that matter. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 5, 6, and 7, you find the Sermon on the Mount, which is the most incredible sermon ever preached. And when Jesus was done preaching, because he got through talking about relationships and heaven and hell and how to pray and how to fast and how to give and what God wants. When he was through in Matthew chapter 7, look down in verse 28. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught with one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. You remember the story of, some of you may be too young. Remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials? The in a big restaurant, and the guy's sitting there and he's talking. He says, "Well, E.F. Hutton is my broker." And E.F. Hutton says, and everybody in the whole restaurant just stops and listens in. You remember that? You know, and then the commercial would go, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." That's how Jesus was. When Jesus talked, people listened. You know, I've tried that E.F. Hutton thing. It doesn't work. You know, I've tried that. Hey, let me tell you something that Trey said. And they just keep right on talking. But with Jesus, when you find the right message, he had something to say, something worth hearing, something worth listening to. He talked about eternity, death. He talked about how to love one another, how to forgive one another. Don't ever change the message. That's the thing we've got to do, is make sure that whatever you decide to change, don't change your message. The message is still Jesus. He looked good from every side. Now, I threw this one in because I read a story the other day about Mariah Carey. I'm not a Mariah Carey fan. Music-wise, I really don't even know much about her, but I read a story where she has in her contract at concerts in certain places that you can only photograph her from one side because she believes that her left side is her bad side, and she will not allow people or cameras to video her from her. And I just thought, are you kidding me? She, you know, but you know, the funny thing is she's right. Everybody's got a bad side. If you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, the first thing you flipped on in the bathroom and you were standing there and you were thinking, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And you combed and you brushed and you washed and you scrubbed and you made yourself look a whole lot better, because we all have a bad side, right? Spiritually, we all have a bad side. It does not take much to look at me to see, man, he is not perfect, not even close. We all have a bad side. Jesus never had a bad side. We built a bridge the other day coming into Childress on one that needed replaced. They decided to go underneath the railroad tracks instead of over because it's in a part of town that they didn't want folks coming into town and being up high enough to see into the bad part of town. You know, every town has a side where they go, oh, don't look at that. It's kind of the rundown homes. Jesus didn't have a bad side. I love that about Jesus. There was no bad side at all. You and I, best thing we can do is try to show people Jesus. Don't show them us, because you look close enough at me and you're going to see that I've got a bad side. But I'm going to point people, we're going to point people to the guy that doesn't have a bad side. The one that's got answers to their problems. And that's Jesus. In a broken world, there are a lot of people that just simply need to hear about Jesus. Let's look at the last couple real quick. One of the things that always amazes me is Jesus offended the church people, the religious people, and he hung out with the sinners. And he hung out with the sinners. I said earlier, the only people he really looked down on were those who looked down on others. He hung out so much with the sinners and the prostitutes and the tax collectors that they accused him of being a sinner too. I think we in churches have overlooked people because maybe our comfort zone doesn't stretch out to people that we consider to be sinners. And that's sad. Jesus spent time with Zacchaeus, and the people said, I cannot believe he's going to Zacchaeus' house. They called him a drunkard and a glutton. I often wonder if Jesus showed up on a Sunday to my church, our church, what would take place, how he would act. Sometimes I think, we talked about this one time at church. It was a Sunday night, and we were having discussion, and I said, what do you think Jesus would do if he showed up tonight? And somebody said, well, he would straighten a lot of folks out. Somebody said, I think he'd tell them kids to quit running. Like that one. That was good, right? We have lots and lots of kids. Somebody else said, well, I just think I told him, I said, all right, here's my opinion, and it's just an opinion. Number one, I'm not even sure he'd be here. I really think he would be over there across the tracks from where the church is. We'd be going, Jesus, did you not know about the PM service? And he'd go, yeah, y'all didn't need me there. They needed me over here. And if he did show up for some reason, I almost think, I get tickled because I think I could actually see Jesus washing someone's feet in the baptistry. I could see him feeding a homeless man out of the refrigerator in the fellowship hall with food that belonged to some project we were doing. And I could see him chasing the kids through the auditorium. And I could hear one of my deacons going, Jesus, were you born in a barn? And Jesus going, I was, yes. You see, we've got to figure out that it's more about this turning on lights on Sundays and going, come on. We've got to reach out to people around us that sometimes aren't anything like us. Let me show you a guy I picked up the other day. Oh, it's kind of hard to see. This is Dan. All right. Now, in Childress, we get people through on the highway all the time. And Dan was a very scary looking man. And I had two or three people call. For some reason, guys like Dan, I am more comfortable around guys like Dan than I am guys in suits. Okay. I don't know why it is God put that in me that way, but I can pick up a guy on the side of the road. If you have a suit and tie, I'm probably going to drive on past, all right? But if you look like Dan, I'm all right with that. But here's Dan, and two or three people call and said, there is a scary-looking guy out of town. Can you go help him? 9 times out of 10, I will tell those people who have sent me a text message, I will, after you ask him first, what can I do to help you? But I went out and picked up Dan because nobody wanted to mess with him. Nicest guy you'd ever meet. Lived in Taos, New Mexico, but was sleeping on the road trying to get back. Got him lunch. Spent some time hanging out with him. Got him a hotel room. We got ready to go. Check this out. Got ready to go. He said, and this is not an unusual thing, "I'd like to have a prayer with you," Dan says. And I said, "Awesome." I said, "I'd be happy to pray for you." And he said, "No." He said, "You misunderstood me. I want to pray for you." I said, "I would love it." And he did. Sometimes we're overlooking people in our world that we shouldn't. I picked up a guy the other day, gave a ride to Lubbock. And when I picked him up, had all my family with me. We had a seat. And the boys knew when I pulled over, Dad, you know. And I thought, Mom can move in the middle. He can sit up here. Honestly, when he put his backpack in the back of the Suburban, I counted. Now, this is not a preacher story, so that means it's truth, all right? I counted at least 20 roaches that scurried out of his backpack into the back of my car. Yeah, and I even thought, I hate roaches. I even thought, oh, what have I done? But I was sitting at the front end of the car, so I was feeling good, right? We take off down the road, and I'm trying really hard to send Connor, my 16-year-old, who's in the back seat, a message, and I'm trying to say, if you see any bugs, don't stress. You know, I didn't want to embarrass a guy sitting next to me. And I look back there about the time I hit the send button, and he is peeled up against the window as far as he can go like this, and he's pointing like this at me because one of them is obviously crawled in the seat with him. And we get to Lubbock, and he said, "Dad, I killed about 15 of those things. They were all over the place." And I said, "That's all right." We gave that man a ride, and that's what he needed. We want to be people of action. You know, I thought about it this morning. It hadn't hit me till this morning. It wasn't long after that my wife said, "You know, it's about time to trade cars." That may have had something to do with it, and I hadn't even thought about it. You know, we're not into the business. I don't want to displease people. I'm not looking to make people mad. I just want to please Jesus. And if my church folks don't like it, I'm really sorry, but that's really what I want to do. We had a while back in church probably the coolest thing that has ever happened in my mind. We'd been working on two or three, four different families and different people that we had had come into church services with us. One of them was a man who did tattooing, and he had full tattoos all over his body. We hadn't had anybody look like him come to church. And I knew that night when he walked in, people were like, "Who is that?" And they asked when services was over, "Who is that?" And his wife had just as many as he did. He sat down in the seat next to me. Just down the road from him was a family across the street that we had invited and had finally come that night. It was a Hispanic man and a woman that he had been living with and had two children with. And on the far end was my friend Charlie, who is a black man from our community who is known for his reputation of being very dishonest. But he is my friend, and we have got to be good friends. And we filled a pew, and I remember thinking, red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in our sight. That's how churches are supposed to look, full of sinners. And the thing that hit me was I looked down the aisle at a man covered in tattoos who is there for the first time in his life ever in a church, period. And the rest of those people, and I thought, you know, to God, I'm just as much a sinner as they are. I am no different. You see, I like the fact that Jesus hung out with sinners because that means he would have hung out with me. Look at the last two because we are just about out of time. Jesus came as a common man. That's pretty simple, right? I like the fact that he was not born in a palace. He was not born on white sheets. He was not someone who didn't relate with people. He came as a common, regular guy. And I'm still baffled that deity would do just that, that he was accessible to people, that he had to work hard, that he sweat, that he probably got frustrated and he did get angry. Jesus offered what no one else would. What no one else would. And you know what that is? Real joy, real peace, real salvation, real love. Got a credit card thing in the mail the other day. Offer you can't refuse. Got another one. The next envelope said, "This card, all your dreams come true." There's a lot of people in this world that will offer you. They say they can offer you anything. Jesus is the one that offers what no one else really can. True joy, true peace, true salvation, and love. And I like that about Jesus. That's what my job and your job is as followers of Jesus, to offer the same thing, to point people towards Jesus. We have a little family that I've reached out to that live across the street from the church where I preach. Their mama doesn't do a lot of mama, and the kids come over to church. She doesn't come. The kids are as wild and rambunctious as any three kids you could ever imagine. One of my elders is a doctor, and he's always going, I've got to get those kids on medication. They come, and I can promise you they will sit in three different seats every Sunday before the sermon is through. They'll move from here to there to here to there. And sometimes we have people go, what are we going to do with them? And I say, we're going to love them. And we're going to, you know, and one of them will come up and go, Jessari, second grade, Jessari tried to take communion this morning. And I said, that's fantastic. She's learning. Leave her be. And we've just loved on those kids. We've watched them grow up. They've come over during funerals on Fridays when we're having a funeral, when the family is eating, and they go, we're hungry. We go, come right on in, because we know there are many days when they don't have food to eat in their house. And we'll feed them right next to the family who's there to eat for a funeral. I looked up the other morning as I was getting to the office. I come into the office, and I looked up, and here comes Jessari, second grade, about 10 years old, walking across the parking lot of the church, headed to elementary school, which is just across the street. And she's dragging her coat, and she's dragging her backpack, and her shoes are untied, and it looks like she has just lost her best friend in the world. And so I go out. School started 10 minutes ago. And I go, Jessari, why are you so sad? And she said, my brother and sister didn't wait for me this morning. And I had to pick out my own clothes. And I said, well, hold on just a minute. And I stopped, and I tied her shoes. And I said, let me carry your backpack, and let's put on your coat. It's cold this morning, Jessari. And I walked her to school. And I walked her to class, and class had already started. We got her stuff in her locker, and we knocked on Miss Churchill's door, and we got her into class where she was supposed to be. She gave me a big hug, which made all of it worth it, of course. About 2 weeks later, when she was to take a test, state test, to see if she was going to get to move up to the next level, she passed, and they didn't think she would pass, but they asked her, is there anybody, do you want us to tell your mama? Who would you like for us to tell that you passed? We're going to celebrate with you today. She said, I'd like Trey to know, across the street from the church. And so they called me from the office and said, Jessari wants to talk to you. My first thought was, oh, what has she done now? She said, I passed my test. And I came over, and we had a celebration just because of love. All I care to do is point those three kids that already have two strikes against them towards Jesus. Not to me. Point them towards Jesus, because he's the one that will give them true peace, true joy, true happiness, and salvation. Thank you all for coming. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our time we've had this morning. We give you thanks for the way you love us and bless us. Thank you for these folks that have come to learn a little bit more about Jesus. He is amazing. I just can't read of the stories in the Gospels without just thinking, wow, incredible. And we just give you thanks for the example he set. Thank you, Father. And it's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.